turn now to John 16, 5 through 15, where Jesus talks about how it is that God is working in the world today. You know, the young people in confirmation class with me this past week, we were talking about how God works in the world, and we were examining some of the false beliefs, one of which is called deism. Deo is the Latin word for God, so if we were strictly translated into English, it would be pronounced Godism, but it's deism. Deism is a false belief that there is a God, that he did create everything, but that he is no longer involved in the world. We call this clockmaker theology. It's like a guy, he builds this wonderful clock and he winds the spring up and he puts it on the wall and he walks away. And the spring drives the clock on and on and on until it stops. Deism is a false belief because God's word tells us differently. God's word tells us that not only does Jesus maintain the working of all creation, it's almost like, if you will, he is the spring that gives energy to creation. But also, God's word says that he, in fact, gives you breath and life every day. Colossians 1:17 says, "For by Christ Jesus all things were created, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist," continue. Acts 17:25, "God gives to all life, breath, and all things." God cares for his creation. And most of all, the Bible says he cares for you. You were created in his image. He is our good Father in heaven. That's what Jesus says. He is your good Father in heaven. And just like a good father, or just like a good parent, God wants to see that you have advantages. Now that rings true. Every parent here wants to have advantages for their children. You want them to have the advantages of good education, right? You want them to have the advantages of having the tools and material they need for school. You want them to have the advantages of knowing Jesus Christ and salvation. The difference, though, is that earthly parents sometimes get their priorities mixed up. What are most advantageous for our children? I think everyone knows that if we spoil our kids too much, we actually can do them more harm than good. You know, children who receive everything and never have to work for anything grow up expecting the world to give them everything, and they think they're the center of everything, and that's no good to them, and it's no good to our society, and it's a real problem for salvation. Sometimes in the past 7 or 8 years, frequently, I've had the opportunity to talk to parents when their children have come to them after high school and said, "Mom and Dad, I want to go to Bible school. I want to go to the Free Lutheran Bible School down in Plymouth." And the parents say no, because they've only got so much money set aside, and they want the kids to go to SDSU or the U of M or wherever. And the parents are thinking, their hearts are in the right spot. They think, "I want my kids to have a good education so they can get a good job, so they can have good lives." The truth of the matter is, though, all of us probably, I certainly know people. I know people who are very wealthy and are as miserable and lost as you can imagine. And I know people who live simple and humble lives in joy. because they know Jesus as their Savior. God is working for your advantage. And His Word tells us that He is working in your life daily. God is concerned most of all with the one advantage that stands over all others, and that is the advantage of salvation and eternal life. I want to return to our text, but just read verses 7 through 13. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13, because Jesus focuses on it here. Listen to these words. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, or if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come." This scripture tells us that God is concerned to work for your advantage, and he's working to the advantage of the whole world, actually. Not necessarily in the realm of sports, you know. God may not want your son to have that hockey scholarship. Maybe not necessarily in the world of finance either. There are many brilliant people who never get wealthy. But God seeks your advantage in the realm of the heavenly kingdom. God seeks your advantage over Satan and over sin and over death. God seeks your advantage over the judgment which is coming. After Easter, Jesus ascended into heaven and he promised to send his Holy Spirit into the world. And he tells us that the work of the Holy Spirit in the world today is, first of all, to convict the world of their need for a Savior. And the work of the Holy Spirit in the world is also to aid Christians as you struggle against Satan. But third, the Holy Spirit's working in the world to glorify Jesus Christ. And this is God working to your advantage. Holy Spirit convicts the world that they need a Savior. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is how God continues today to bring people to salvation. The world becomes convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Let's look at this word convicted for a moment, though. Okay, what does convicted mean? Convicted means to know the truth. It doesn't mean that you will respond to it. We use the word convicted in criminal cases. In a fair courtroom, in a fair trial, a person is found guilty, perhaps, of a sin, and they are convicted of that crime. When that conviction is read out, that man knows that society has found him guilty, that society will not tolerate this sin, and that society is going to punish him. And he knows that is true. Now, when I was a kid, I grew up watching Perry Mason at my grandparents' house. My grandmother loved it every afternoon. I don't remember one episode of Perry Mason where they wrote out an invitation to the criminal and said, "Here you go, we'll see you at the federal prison on Thursday. Don't bring any clothes." They don't do that. Why don't they do that? Instead, they put the guy in shackles and put him in a paddy wagon and they take him down there. They do that because they don't give him an invitation, because even though the man is convicted, he won't accept it. Most won't, right? If you give him a chance, most of them are going to run and evade justice. So you see, conviction doesn't mean necessarily that you accept the truth. It just means you know the truth. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is cast out. Jesus points out here again, first of all, when he says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, Jesus is pointing out again that there is only one unforgivable sin, and that's unbelief. The whole scripture testifies to the law of God. The whole scripture tells us how we're supposed to live. The whole scripture convicts us because we're not able to keep it. We try. The Christian wants to keep the law. We want to please God. But we know we fail. And we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Matthew 12:31, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men." Because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts you of your need for a Savior, and to blaspheme the Holy Spirit means to turn away, to run away from that truth. I will not accept it. The Word of God is meant to convict us. That is, to make sure we know the truth about our own sin. And then the Word of God brings us the gospel, that through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit does this work in the world through the Word of God. But being convicted does not mean accepting the truth. So ultimately, the only unforgivable sin is rejecting the Holy Spirit when he teaches you about your Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus says he convicts the world of sin, because they do not believe in me. Jesus points out that there's no other way. The Holy Spirit teaches the world that only Jesus Christ is righteous. There's no possibility of working your way into heaven or into the good graces of God. Romans 3:10-23 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God." Ephesians 2:8 says, "You are saved by grace through faith and not of good works, lest anyone should boast." Only Jesus lived a sinless life. Only Jesus, God with us, could take the sins of the world on his shoulders. Only Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter to show that God is satisfied with his sacrifice for sin. And only Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. The Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, convicts the world of this truth. But the world doesn't have to accept it. Jesus said the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Don't let the world ever deceive you that there is no hell. Jesus spoke of it often. Revelation 19:20 says, "Those who worship Satan are cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." This then is the judgment awaiting those who turn away from the salvation offered freely through Jesus Christ, the conviction of sin and righteousness. You see, Satan, Jesus says Satan has already been judged. He has already been condemned. Hell's awaiting for him. And Jesus says those who are not following Christ are following Satan. And they're going to end up in the same place that Satan is going to. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of these truths. Some will repent and come to salvation. Many will not. Jesus says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Narrow is that path that leads to salvation, and few will find it. Either way, the Holy Spirit has done his work. And this is to your advantage and to the advantage of the world. The Holy Spirit convicts each one of sin and righteousness and judgment, and therefore each person must decide. Each person decides knowing the truth. And therefore, each person is accountable for their decision. Jesus says the Holy Spirit has other work to do for those who decide to follow Christ. God continues to work to your advantage. The Holy Spirit aids Christians. He helps Christians in their struggle against the devil. You see, when you decide to follow Christ, the battle begins. Now Satan wants you. Now Satan wants to get you back in his claws. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now this week I was considerably distracted for about 3 days, still am to some extent, by a discussion I had with some friends on Facebook. Facebook is kind of like a super internet, comes with pictures and you can have discussions and stuff. A good friend of mine in Washington State sent a Facebook, wasn't to me, it was just posted on the wall, and it made a kind of a glancing comment about Islam. And in the next 30 minutes, 25 responses poured onto that site in response to her comment about Islam. And I had to get involved too, because she's a dear Christian friend. And of the 7 or 8 people that responded, many of them several times, 4 or 5 of them were very hostile to her and her comment. Her position was, in effect, we all just need to get along. We all just need to do good. We all just need to love one another, and then we'd live in a good world. That's what they were saying. Well, certainly, we do aspire to get along with people. But if you are a Christian, you want to. The Holy Spirit works in you, and he encourages you to share the love of God with those lost souls that are on their way to hell. Ouch. Boy, does that touch a nerve. Whew. That was my first comment, by the way. We love our neighbor most by sharing the gospel. Oh, you should have seen the comments. How judgmental I am. Who are you to judge? I quoted scripture. It's not me. This is God's word. It's the truth. Satan is so crafty. In the end, there's no winning this debate. In the end, I've got 4 or 5 people, and they believe that it's all about loving each other and good works. And you see, Satan has distracted them from the judgment that is coming. He's been distracting them that nobody comes to salvation except through Jesus Christ. So I'm accused of being judgmental. But wait, the encouragement for me is it's the Holy Spirit who's convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Holy Spirit strengthens you as a believer so that you may show the love of God to those who are lost and stand up to the deception and the devices of the devil and those who would oppose you. He said in verse 12 and 13, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. He's talking to his disciples 2,000 years ago. But when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He's talking to the disciples 2,000 years ago, but he's also talking to you now. The promise is true for the disciples first. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit and would help them remember every word Christ spoke. Jesus said that in John 14, 26. And also the Holy Spirit would give them discernment to know the truth from falsehood. You know, the church has been fighting against falsehood and error since the beginning. As the apostles wrote their letters, they testified that it was the Holy Spirit working in them so that each word they knew was inspired by God. And they recalled the verbal teaching of Jesus Christ, but also the Holy Spirit guided them into truths about the church and about how we are to live as Christians. And if we go all the way to the book of Revelations, as hard as it is to understand, we know what's coming as well. The Holy Spirit works in you. As you read the Word of God, it is the Holy Spirit who is enlightening your mind. The Bible says without the Holy Spirit, it's foolishness to you. The Holy Spirit creates faith in your heart. He strengthens your walk in the light of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says the Holy Spirit reveals to you the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. You see, God is working to your advantage. The Word of God testifies that the canon is now closed. There will be no more revelation. The Bible says there will be no more revelation about how we come to salvation. God has revealed in His Word all that you need for faith and life. But that's enough. There's more to know in God's Word than any man or any woman can discover in a lifetime of prayer and reading. And yet the Holy Spirit makes sure that first of all, you know this truth. God loved you so much, he sent his son to die for you, that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. John 3:16, he makes sure you know that first of all. This is the truth in your heart and the heart of every believer, and the Holy Spirit strengthens you so that you can share that truth with those lost souls around you. And as you share Christ, doesn't matter how they respond. They may call you judgmental. They may call you bigoted. As you share Christ, you glorify Him. The Holy Spirit works through you, and the church grows. You see, Jesus says the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ in the world through the church. What do I mean by the church? The church, the Bible says, is the body of believers wherever they are found. It may be under a tall steeple in a beautiful church on Main Street. It may be under a banyan tree in the savannah of Africa. If they love Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that's the church.